can be seated. Well, if you've come in a little later or if you're watching online and just tuned in, today's a little different service. We call this House of Prayer. About 13 years ago, my life and ministry was changed as I went to a prayer gathering and I recognized that prayer had not been a significant part enough of my life. I grew up in a pastor's home, so I prayed all my life. We had family devotions and prayer times. I prayed throughout church. I prayed as a pastor. But I was taught the importance of spirit-led, scripture-fed, worship-based prayer. And as a church, we began to apply that, and we've seen God work some miracles. And as we go into the fall of this year, we're going to reintroduce that on a regular basis to you. But we thought it would be helpful just to remind our Sunday morning crowd of the importance of praying. So you're going to see what we're doing is pretty familiar. Some people call this the Acts model of praying. We're starting with adoration. That was praise as Pastor Eliel led us. And then we're going into confession. And confession is what I'm going to lead us through in just a moment. We're going to have a time of thanksgiving and a time of supplication as we go through. Some people call it the pray model. We praise God and then we repent and then we adore Him and then we yield our lives to what He's saying in our lives. Whatever you call it, it's the model that Jesus taught us when He prayed this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. That's the model Jesus taught us, beginning upwardly and revering Him, coming down and responding to His reverence. That's confession. And then going out and requesting from Him and then being ready for whatever He says to do in our lives. So I want to encourage you. Be stretched. I know it's not like this everywhere. This is different from what some of you have experienced in a church setting. For a few of you, it's way more tame than what you're used to. That's okay. Hold back. But for a lot of you, this is going to stretch you. I've loved in 15 years watching people who grew up in the setting just like I did, pretty calm, being willing to voice praise to God, being willing to bend the knee when necessary, being willing to trust God for miracles in their lives. I'm trying to tell you, we want to pray like it matters. But Scripture says you can't do that without confession. This morning, my first reading was in the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, we're continuing just God's message through Moses to the children of Israel. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, He's reminded them of how they walked away and did not do what the Lord told them to do. And He said that you're going to be punished because of this. But in chapter 4 and verse 29, He says, but if from there, from if that place where you've experienced the judgment of God, you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. The reason that song, The Goodness of God, is so important to me is because in my life, I'm well aware of my times of unfaithfulness. And it's in those moments that He's never been unfaithful. He's been so good to me. But that's always a response of my awareness of sin. Psalm 32, David. Now think about David, what he did. David, the king. As the king, he was also the spiritual leader of the people. And yet he committed adultery and he committed murder. And then he repented. hundreds of years later, Dr. Luke, inspired by the Spirit of God in the book of Acts, describes David, repentant sinner, as a man after God's own heart. Listen to how he prayed in Psalm 32. Pick up in verse 2. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as it is in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. I've changed as I've gotten older. Well, I've changed in a lot of ways. But one of the ways I've changed is I really believe that the people I meet don't have to be convinced of their sinfulness. Now, we may not be willing to admit it to another person, but we look in the mirror. That's why I say nobody will disappoint you more than you. Nobody can hurt you more than you. So repentance has to take place in the life of the believer, but I want you to understand that repentance is more than just regret. And that's clear in Scripture. In 2 Corinthians 7, Paul says, I'm going to back up and I'm going to read in verse 9, I was not happy because you were made sorry, but your sorrow led you not to repentance, for you became sorrowful not as God intended, so you were harmed. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. I want to challenge you in this moment to experience some godly sorrow over any unconfessed sin in your life. And then I'm going to lead you to a point of good news. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's the promise of the child of God. Now listen, if you've not yet begun a relationship with Christ, the prayer that God hears from you is a prayer of salvation. So some of you, you've been running up against the wall because you've been trying to do some things in your own strength. And maybe you've cried out to God, but you're wondering why nothing's happened. And it very well could be that you've never begun a relationship with Christ. That means, God, I admit I'm a sinner. I believe that your death on the cross was for my sin. And so I'm going to yield my life to you. If you've not done that, I invite you to cry out to God today. If you know you're a Christ follower, I want to lead you through a moment of confessional prayer. And let's experience the forgiveness that then frees us up to really seek the hand of God. Okay? So throughout this service, including this moment, I want to invite you to find a prayer posture that's comfortable for you. So this isn't the end. But you may want to come and pray around in these prayer carpets, or you may just want to kneel at your seat. You may just want to bow your head. But don't miss this moment of seeking the forgiveness of God. God, as we begin this seasonal moment of prayer, we thank you for the promises we've read, whether it be written by David or from the hands of the Apostle Paul, all came from you, Spirit of God. Lord, that when we hold on to our sin, it kills us. It literally can kill us. But when we confess with repentance, Lord, you cleanse us. Thank you, God. So hear these confessional prayers of your people. And God, for that person that may be crying out a prayer of salvation, give them courage, Lord, as they simply say to you, I need you, God. I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me. Take control of my life. I yield. Let's begin this season of confessional prayer in our head. Ask God to forgive you from sins in your mind, things you're thinking, attitudes that are not pleasing to Him, your thought life that's unpleasing to Him. That could be thoughts of jealousy, thoughts of anger, thoughts of lust. We could go on and on in our mind. The Bible says that worry is a sin. Ask God to take away these thoughts that are unpleasing to Him. Confess these thoughts to the Lord. As you're praying, continue down the head. Just think about everything in your head, your eyes. You've looked at another person in a way you shouldn't. That could be prejudice. That could be lust. Confess that to the Lord. Agree with Him. This was wrong. This was not of you. You're listening to things you shouldn't. Gossip. Music or media that's displeasing to the Lord. Confess that. Saying things you shouldn't. This could be harsh words. This could be lies. This could be filthy language. This could be gossip. It could be just negativity all the time. Confess this to the Lord. Body, just think about your health. Are you making healthy choices? The Bible says that the body is the temple of God. God does not reside in buildings like this beautiful building made with the hands of man. God resides, if you're a child of God, in your life. Are you making healthy choices? Ask His forgiveness for those things you know are not pleasing to Him. Your heart. I love the song that says, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Maybe that's where we need to begin your worship. Is it performance? Is it unto the Lord? Is your heart divided? In the worst moments in my life, I've been serving the Lord, but my heart was divided. It was a portion of my heart that I had not yielded. Let that be. That could be something like your finances. That could be your marriage. Be your children. Yielded all your heart. Go back to that verse in Deuteronomy. When you seek Him with all your heart, anything else in your body, you're doing things with your body, you're going places with your body that are not pleasing the Lord, confess that. Thank you. God. I confess even today the battle of my mind, the battle, Lord, of just yielding my heart completely to you. I thank you for your forgiveness, your goodness and grace. Oh God, thank you for your mercy. What I deserve is death and hell. Thank you, God. Take a moment and just thank him for his forgiveness as you've confessed these sins to him. Claim that promise. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Tell him thank you for being faithful. Now, God, as we continue to worship you, we know that our forgiveness is made possible through the shed blood, Lord Jesus, that you gave us on the cross, the sacrificial death in our place. You were my substitute, Jesus. Thank you. I'm going to sin again, but your forgiveness will be available to me again. Thank you for the forgiveness that you make available, Jesus. We do love you. You have been faithful. We will worship you. You are good. Lord, we celebrate you today. We praise your name. Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord.
Well, everything changed. Getting harder to recognize the person I was before I encountered Christ. I don't walk like I used to. I don't talk like I used to. I've been washed from the inside. I've been washed from the inside. Hallelujah. Could have only been the blood. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it was the blood. Could have only been the blood.
Amen.
Cannot explain, but nothing's more real than this. In the presence of God, oh, what my heart experienced when my shame hit the wayside and my sin at the most high. I've been washed from the inside. I've been washed from the inside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blood could have only been the blood. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it was the blood, could have only been the blood.
Oh, we thank you, Lord. This is the gospel truth. It is not by anything that we have done, but it is only by the grace of God that we can be saved. Come on, church, let's declare it this morning. It's not about our performance or what we bring to the table.
It's never been about performance, perfection, or striving for acceptance. Let me tell you, it's only by the blood. It's never been about deserving or earning. Gift that's freely given. Let me tell you, it's only by the blood.
Yes.
Does anybody want to be holy? knowing was the blood could have only been the blood. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it was the blood could have only been the blood.
Just sing this little chorus. What can wash away my sins? What is it? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's sing the chorus together.
What can wash away my sin?
Sing it, church.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again?
Sing it.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious. Sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all. Say that phrase. Say once for all. He appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of what? Himself. And just as people are destined to die once and after that face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, to bring ultimate salvation to those who are waiting for him. This is a prayer service, but when we pray, really, it's all about the gospel. That's what I just read. It's the death of Jesus on the cross that makes this thing called the way, the Christ life, even possible for us. So that's why Jesus set up that on a regular basis we would come to him and remember what he's done. If you are a follower of Jesus, I encourage you to take out what we call the elements of the Lord's Supper. This little wafer reminds us of the body of Jesus broken on our behalf. This little cup of juice reminds us of the blood of Jesus shed in our place for the forgiveness of sins. When we do this in a moment, you get to do this today having just confessed recent sins to the Lord. And you can say, Jesus, thank you for the blood. Thank you for your forgiveness that I needed even today. Thank you for loving me. So, Lord Jesus, in your name, we do pray to our Heavenly Father, the power of you, Spirit of God, saying thank you. As Scripture commands, we do this in remembrance of you. Amen. With grateful hearts, Lord, we now worship you for the glory of your name.
you just sing this with us?
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoices to see that fountain in his day, and there may I full vile as he wash all my sins away. Amen. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away.
Amen. I love this last verse.
Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power.
Never, ever, ever.
Till all the ransomed church of God be saved.
So I want you just to understand what you've done. You've spent an hour seeking the face of God. What do we normally do immediately when we pray? We seek the hand of God. We're going to do that for a few minutes now, but we want to do that in right order. Seek His face. Seek the face of God first, then seek His hand. I want to tell you a story from the book of Jeremiah, and it really starts in one of the most familiar passages of Scripture in the Bible, Jeremiah 29. A lot of you know verse 11. You may have it on your dining room wall, or you have it on a little plaque or a reminder in your car. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, not of calamity, but of welfare, a future, and a hope. And we claim that, and we hold to that, but often we don't understand that. In our church, we've taught regularly that that passage is in the context of the children of Israel being held captive by the Babylonians. At that time, the greatest kingdom in the world, the most powerful army. And so Jeremiah the prophet was saying to them, hey, God's going to take care of you. I know the plans the Lord has for you, he says. It's going to be okay. But if you read the next verses, he says, but hang on, it's going to take 70 years. How many of you have struggled sometimes with God's timing. Anybody? Like, hello, where are you? In 2 weeks, I'm going to come back, and it's kind of a recap of forgiven for good. We're going to talk about what to do when you feel like you might need to forgive God, because we know we don't really need to because God doesn't sin, but we don't understand what he's done. So Jeremiah got in trouble for saying that. And so by the time we get to Jeremiah 32, he's in prison. He's been put in prison in Judah, in the land of God's children, by God's king, Zedekiah. Why did he put him in prison? Because the king didn't like him saying, you're going to be held captive for 70 years. And so in prison, Jeremiah is still talking to God because, right, we talk to God all the time. Not just in church, not just when things are good. And so he's talking to God, and God says, hey, I've got a plan for you. Your long-lost cousin is going to show up, and he wants you to buy this piece of land. So you buy this piece of land. Now, I just have a question for you. Does that sound like odd timing? You don't really need a new piece of land when you're in prison. And by the way, he's been telling everybody, we're going to be held captive by the Babylonians for 70 years. It's going to be like exile. Why would I buy a piece of land? And so he begins to pray to God. And it's in that context that he has this prayer in Jeremiah 32, 17. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Say that last phrase with me. Nothing is too hard for you. Notice what it says next. You show love to thousands, but you bring the punishment of the parents' sins into the laps of their children after them. Great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord Almighty, great are your purposes and mighty are your deeds. Your eyes are open to the ways of mankind. You reward each person according to their conduct and their deeds deserve. And then at the end of that prayer, he kind of goes on to say, but now, did you just tell me to go buy a piece of land while I'm sitting here in prison and we're about to be in captivity? And the Lord responds. The Lord responds at the end of this passage by reminding him who he is. Verse 26 says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Maybe you need to be reminded of that today. That your Lord God, the God of all mankind, he can do anything. He can do anything. It's interesting to me that you flip the page and you go to the next chapter, Jeremiah 33. And Jeremiah 33 begins this way. Verse 2 says, this is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you did not know. How many of you need the Lord to do something in your life? Is anybody here who needs the Lord's touch in your life? I think this passage is a great place for us to talk about trusting the Lord. First, we trust the Lord for who he is. That's why it's important to praise him in the way that we've praised him. He is your sovereign God. You know what it means that he's a sovereign God? He's on the throne. You know what it means that he's on the throne? He's in charge. Listen, nothing touches your life that hasn't first filtered through the hand of God. I've said that for a long time. I feel like I'm just entering a season of my life where I'm trusting that. Don't be caught off guard by the things you face. God never says, whoo, I didn't see that coming. Trust the Lord for who he is. But secondly, we trust God because of what he can do, right? You've got a decision to make. As you pray, do you pray with faith, believing that God can do anything? Do you believe anything's impossible for Him? Do you believe He could save your marriage? Do you believe He can meet your financial needs? Do you believe He could give you the job that you've been hoping for? Do you believe that He can deal with the anxiety you're facing? Do you believe that He can heal your broken heart? Do you believe that He can help you forgive? You have to decide, do I really believe that nothing is impossible for God? Which leads me to the last thing, which is, I want to trust God because His purposes are great. That's right out of this passage. He says, His purposes are great. So at the core of our faith is a decision where we choose to decide who we think knows best for our life. Our God or us? I don't know about you, but I struggle. I take the wheel. And when I do that, I'm saying, God, I don't really trust your purposes. I feel like I'm going to have to drive for a while. But when we pray in faith, when we trust the Lord, we're saying, I really believe your purposes. It's Romans 8:28, where we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, are called according to what? His purposes. And so after telling us that about God, the prophet says, Jeremiah 33:3, that's God's phone number, I will call upon the Lord. I'll call upon the Lord. And what's He going to do? He's going to tell me great and mighty things. Trust God enough to call upon the Lord. I'm going to ask Pastor Zach to come and help lead this time of supplication. But as he comes, I want to again challenge you. Why do we ever kneel in reverence? We kneel because we're acknowledging, whoop, there's royalty in the room. There's one who has power I don't have, who has authority I don't have, who can do things I can't do. And when I'm in His presence, I'm going to show Him respect. Some of you physically can't do that. But I want to encourage you in these next few moments, humble yourself in prayer. We've sought the face of God. That should humble us. Now we seek the hand of God. Pastor Zach, lead us.
Thank you, Pastor. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We ask, oh Lord Jesus Christ, that you step into this moment. That you let our heart, oh Father, the cry of our heart to get before the throne of grace. Give us such a conviction and obedience to your command, oh Lord, to know that you are the source of every resource that we can get in this life. And as your children, we have, oh Father, the right through Christ Jesus to approach your throne, to cry out with faith and conviction, and to see our need being made. So Lord, we bless your name, Jesus. Even as we're going to enter into such a moment of prayer right now, we are praying, oh Lord Jesus Christ, that your will to be done, that your name to be glorified, that Jesus himself will receive the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now I want you to participate in this moment of prayer. I have a prayer point in my hand right now. Pastor Paul has one. There's one next to you. Please let heaven hear your voice today. We're going to agree in faith and pray in response to the command of the Lord that say, call upon my name and I will do what? I will come to your rescue. When God say he will, I can assure you for sure he will. So I want you to find a prayer partner. If you're next to your spouse, great, praise Jesus. If you're a lady, alone, find another lady. If you're a man, just alone, you just show up at church today, find another man. Exchange your prayer point. Listen, if there's anybody that needs to hear your voice today at this moment, it's the Lord himself, not me, not even Pastor Paul. So will you raise your voice and exchange this prayer point? Pray over this prayer point up loud. Ask God to intervene and do what only Him can do. And then secondly, find something present in your life that you want to agree with other person and to pray over. Now the third prayer point is, you're going to pray for our church to continue to be a house of prayer, a place where the Lord Jesus Christ is being glorified. We have a lot of needs. Salvation is free, but I'm telling you, the propagation is not cheap. It's requiring money to keep this place running, to do ministries. Ask God to provide more than enough, because the Bible says His name is El Shaddai. The meaning of El Shaddai is more than enough. That means the all-sufficient one. We don't want to cry for Him to just provide for resources, but God, we want You to be the source. If God is your source, resource will not be a problem. So ask Him to release more than enough resources. The Mission Hill will continue reaching the world with the gospel of Christ Jesus. So I want you to find somebody right now. We're not going to take time, but I want God to hear your voice. May we saturate this place with the noise of our voices for His glory. Just as He said, ask, it shall be given to you. Cast all your burdens unto Him who cares. He's our burden bearer. And right now, He's awaiting to hear our voice. Will you find a prayer partner and start praying even right now? Jesus' name. So, Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for an opportunity to cry out to you and respond to your command in obedience of faith, because we know he who met the promise is more than able to do exactly what he said he will do. So we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. The burden is much more than we can bear. No one is able, oh Father, to cover all these needs but you, God Almighty, the one who is more than able. Make it so for your glory, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us?
Lord, I come.